Hello there, this is Sheila Hamill at Radio Tyneside, and I'd like to thank you for joining me for this next half hour of inspirational music and reflections on Scripture. A warm welcome to all of those of you listening all over the world, but especially those of you in our local hospitals in the Newcastle and Gateshead area. Let's begin with a well-known hymn, which will be sung in many churches today, Crown Him with Many Crowns, for our theme today is Christ the King. Reading for the day from John's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. In it we hear of Jesus' trial before Pontius Pilate, who ruled in Judea as procurator from AD 26 to AD 35. Here Pilate asks Jesus a direct question, "Are you King of the Jews?" So this very title sums up the charge that must have been made against Jesus by his accusers before he was handed over. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Pilate must have been taken quite aback by Jesus' reply. His prisoner was freely admitting the charge by replying, "My kingdom is not of this world." In saying so, Jesus is affirming that he is a king. At least Pilate gets this impression. But there's something different about this prisoner before him. He's clearly no madman, and he's making no effort to defend himself or grovel for mercy. "You are a king then," he replies. Was Pilate just humouring Jesus, playing him along, or did he want to know a little bit more about this mystery man? There's a song from Jesus Christ Superstar which sets the scene of this initial meeting of Jesus with Pontius Pilate.
this broken man cluttering up my hallway? Who is this unfortunate?
Someone, Christ, King of the Jews.
Oh, so this is Jesus Christ. I am really quite surprised. You look so small. Not a king at all. We all know that you are news, but are you king?
King of the Jews!
Your words, not mine.
What do you mean by that? That is not an answer. You're deep in trouble, friend. Someone, Christ, King of the Jews. How can someone in your state be so cool about his fate? An amazing thing, this silent king. Since you come from Galilee, then you need not come to me, your Herod's race. Your Herod's case.
We're told in Matthew's Gospel that Pilate's wife had sent him an urgent message concerning Jesus. In chapter 27, verse 19, it says, "While Pilate was sitting in the judgment hall, his wife sent him a message. Have nothing to do with that innocent man, because in a dream last night I suffered much on account of him." To get such a warning must surely have put Pilate on his guard. He may well have been a superstitious man. No doubt he has already heard plenty of rumours about the man before him concerning miracles and healings. There would have been very little he didn't already know about Jesus as governor of the area. So he tries to avoid handling Jesus' case. He's already invited the leaders to judge him themselves, but they refused. Then, according to Luke, he sends Jesus to King Herod, who wants nothing to do with him either. He even offers to release Jesus as part of a Jewish custom at Passover, a festival where a prisoner could be set free. But this doesn't work either, and the crowd chooses a murderer called Barabbas instead. So Pilate then has Jesus flogged in the hope that this might satisfy the crowd, but they still shout for his execution. Later, in verses 7 to 8 of chapter 19, when Pilate is told that Jesus had claimed to be the Son of God, it says that he was even more afraid. But when Pilate shows a reluctance to put to death an innocent man, the Jewish leaders play a trump card. They shout, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." This is when Pilate has to give in. He has no choice. This was really blackmail. According to history, he had already blotted his copybook with his superiors in Rome, making certain errors in judgment as governor, so he couldn't afford to make any more mistakes. So Pilate washes his hands to cleanse himself of an innocent man's blood and sends Jesus off to be crucified. Pilate orders a notice to be written and fastened above Jesus' cross, which reads, "Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews." And even though the leaders object strongly to it, Pilate says, "What I have written, I have written." Let's listen to a song by Jared Cooper, "King of Kings, Majesty."
King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. Gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. Oh, within me falls at your throne.
Barclay, a theologian, once wrote, "Never was Jesus so regal as when people did their worst to humiliate him." He was probably thinking here about that moment when Roman soldiers, having just flogged Jesus with 39 lashes, led him out, wearing a crown of thorns upon his head and a robe around his shoulders. During his time on earth, Jesus demonstrated that he was not after a throne or a kingly crown. He lived in great poverty and simplicity. There was no grandeur about him. He had no military strength, no war horse, only a donkey which he rode into Jerusalem. He didn't set himself above ordinary folk. He experienced cruelty, betrayal, humiliation for our sakes, whilst at the same time maintaining great dignity, compassion, and integrity. On the contrary, he ministered to others and became a humble servant. And yet it was foretold that he would be king. The angel Gabriel had once announced to his mother Mary, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So now we listen to the hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." If you'd like to contact us online, it's info@radiotyneside.co.uk. This is Radio Tyneside Hospital Radio for Newcastle and Gateshead, broadcasting on Channel 1 of Hospedia, the Ward Entertainment System, on 157 AM in the hospital community and on Radio Player. There's a well-known poem called One Solitary Life, which you may have heard already. Although the author is frequently cited as unknown, the poem is actually attributed to a man called James Allen Francis. It's about the life of Jesus and the effect his life has had on history. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go to college. He never lived in a big city. He never travelled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his garments, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. I am well within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you'd reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams, in my darkest hour. 'Cause you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign?
It was also prophesied hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus that one day a ruler would come. It also stated where exactly he would be born. In the book of Micah 5:2 it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." But I'll say more about this in a special programme on Christmas Day. Scripture tells us that one day Jesus will return to earth, and not only will he come as King in great glory and majesty, but he'll also come as judge and sit on a judgment seat. Then all will recognise him, and there will be no doubt about his authority and his might, his majesty and power. We are not told when, only to be ready. This is the subject of next week's Advent Sunday program. Many Christians today throughout the world believe that Jesus is without a doubt our King, not an ordinary King, but King of our hearts and King of our souls, the King of all kings. I played this song just a few weeks ago, but it's particularly appropriate today. So let's hear King of My Heart by Matt Redman.
King of my heart, King of my soul, you are the one that I live for. No other name, no other throne, it's you alone. King of my heart, King of my soul, I'll make a joyful surrender. No other name, no other throne, it's you alone. So let my life be undivided, God, King of my soul. Oh, 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 oh. King of my soul. Oh, 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 oh. Forever you are seated on the throne, and forever you are good above it all. King of my soul.
Let's hear another ancient prophecy by Isaiah, who had this to say of the coming king in chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a king, what a saviour. This is Sheila Hamill, looking forward to bringing you some exciting themes in the lead up to Christmas, right through the coming season of Advent. And so we end with a prayer, one which was uttered by a common thief as he hung alongside Jesus on his own cross. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. May this be our prayer today, and may the King of Kings and Lord of Lords bear you up today in whatever troubles you face, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, and may God bless you with life in all its fullness. Let's end our programme with the glorious Handel's Messiah. Legend has it that in 1743, the British monarch, King George II, was so moved by Handel's Hallelujah Chorus that he stood up out of respect for the Lord of Lords, the only authority above his own. In truth, nobody knows for sure if it ever happened. There is no eyewitness account of it. The first known mention comes 37 years later in a letter by James Beattie relating the story secondhand, who wrote, The king, who happened to be present, started up and remained standing, and hence it became the fashion. Goodbye for now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.